Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
Hello, it's me, it's Oliver Hudson, one of your two hosts from Sibling Revelry. We are missing one. We are missing the other Hudson, the Kate Hudson. The Kate Hudson is in Greece right now, making a movie. She's working. The bro is taking over. We're going to make it hot. We're going to make it great. I mean, maybe, just maybe, we're going to get some comments that say, hey, you know what? You just do it on your own. Probably not. Kate, I love you. I miss you. You know, you're making the world a better place by being in an action comedy. So to replace Kate and have an extremely in-depth interview into our relationship, because this is the path that we're going to take for this particular episode, is my beautiful wife, Erin Hudson. She is here. She is with me. She is sitting next to me. Say hi.
Hi.
Okay. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to interview her. I'm going to ask her questions about me, things that I think I know about myself, things I think that, you know, I think that she might think about me. Maybe she doesn't. I don't know. We're gonna get into the depths of our relationship starting from the beginning.
And I might have a few questions for you.
And she might have a few questions for me as well. So let's get started. Babe, I need your age.
Okay.
Your weight. Your height.
Why, first of all?
This is what we do with all of our guests.
Okay.
So when was the first time that you noticed me?
Let's see. First time I noticed you was actually the first night I met you in Sandy Marshall's acting class. You were in the front row. I was in the way back. We did have a mutual friend, Mark Rose. I'm sure you've mentioned him before on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And he introduced us just as his friend. This is Oliver. Definitely thought you were cute, but it was not my style or vibe.
You had I wasn't your type.
Yeah, you
were. What was your type?
I don't know. At the time, a little more like East Coast, maybe a little like preppy, khakis, white t-shirt.
And what did I look like?
You had on like vintage Levi's, like a rocker tee and like a black leather jacket. Very rock and roll, very like kind of long hair, very cool. But, mm-hmm. And then I remember we had a few classes together and I remember like smiling at Mark, like, oh, he's kind of cute. And Mark's like, he's dating someone. He's mm-hmm. in a relationship and it's serious. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, but then we got paired together to do a scene. So we had to rehearse this scene together. So we were meeting up every week at someone's house and going over this scene because we were supposed to put it up at some sort of a showcase. So we really kind of got to know each other. And that's when you started to fall in love with me.
I definitely, yes, started to... find some qualities that I was attracted to.
Was there anything that you did, you were like, ugh, in the beginning physically?
No, I mean, it was like I said, kind of like style and, you know, but then obviously it was, you know, just our connection and it was kind of your sense of humor, our back and forth, like just the energy of being around you. I remember saying to my best friend, Jackie, at the time, I was like, I don't know, this is kind of, like feels weird, but I'm like nervous to go in and see him. Mm-hmm. she was dropping me off.
Yeah.
And then that just, that feeling was kind of there where I knew. And then I was kind of like thinking about you. But I think because you had a girlfriend, it allowed us to kind of be friends and know that there was no awkwardness of like trying to, you know, get to know somebody, or when there's the openness of like, oh, we're two single people, it immediately creates something different. And this was like, oh, all right, he has a girlfriend.
The buffer.
And she was beautiful and a Buddhist and, you know, part of the family band.
Mm-hmm. No, she was. She was. And, you know, you were very attractive. I mean, you were hot, so hot. And then, but I was good. But it was a very flirty friendship, very flirty. You know,
I mean, that was just our thing. I mean, from the beginning, it was playful and it was flirty, but it was, safe because I kind of knew.
Right.
Like,
and you were doing your
thing. I wasn't going to lead you on because I knew you couldn't be with me. You were doing your kind of charming thing that you do, which is.
What is that?
Know, just wanting everybody to fall in love with you.
That's a deeper psychological issue.
Yeah, we can get to that later. But no, you did try to like send me up with your friends.
I did. I thought Aaron was so beautiful and fun and all of that. I was trying to set her up with my friends, even though I knew that that wouldn't happen and I didn't want that to happen anyway. You know, and then she had her little crew of girls that she would roll around with, and they'd show up at like the clubs and the bars, and they'd be wearing like their white like tank tops and, you know, their like dog collar chokers, and they had this whole little crew. Cruising around all the celebrities' homes after hours. And then she had a boyfriend. And then they broke up. And she was heartbroken. And then she comes out and hangs out with me. And I think it's on. I'm like, oh my God, we're finally going to like make it happen. And it didn't. It didn't. She just needed consoling. But I guess the nice part about that was you came to me for that for whatever reason.
I did, because I had a friend, you know, we had a friendship. We talked on the phone for like hours at a time. And like,
yeah,
there was something.
We were definitely friends for about a year and a half prior.
Yeah.
Right?
And you knew about Simon. And when I called you when we broke up, remember, I was like reading about him and Jamie Presley, like
right.
As I was getting on an airplane.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. At the same time, I was reading FHM where you were talking about joining the Mile High Club with Simon.
So, yeah, there's that.
And your family had to read all that, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, they did.
So let's talk about that for a second.
Let's keep moving on.
No.
We'll keep moving
Aaron
on.
So had a anyways, Mile High experience with Simon and her parents, who are very East Coast, you know, a little more conservative, had to read this article.
The interviewer got me wasted.
I know,
let's
but
just start
Aaron's,
there.
Aaron's family's
mistake number one,
they're
amateur
amazing.
Move.
They follow everything that she does. They literally have clippings of her. Aaron was like Miss Teen Massachusetts. She was like runner up for Miss Teen America or whatever. I mean, she was a pageant girl, and then she goes to Miami and she models, and she's all hot model girl and dating bad boys. Bad boy who's now in jail. But your parents would clip out every little thing and then keep it up. And then the FHM article comes out and she literally is talking about in explicit sort of graphic detail about how she had an experience in an airplane bathroom. I can't even imagine. Imagine reading that about Rio.
No.
Imagine that.
I think I warned them not to read it. I don't know. You know.
So then
well, then we had a few months before we actually got together, both being single. Because in my mind, I was like, you've been in a relationship. You started to like, you know, pretty much date or hook up with every girl in LA. And I was like, I'm going to let him kind of ride that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't want to like ruin what we had a little bit. I knew our chemistry was going to be kind of like an all or nothing. This wasn't going to be like, hey, let's like... first base, second mm-hmm. base, mm-hmm. you know, first date, third date. I knew that wasn't going to happen. We had too much history, too much chemistry.
And it didn't. First night.
And I just knew. I also was like.
Fucking grand slam.
Yeah. But I knew that if I did that too quickly, I just didn't want to be like another girl that you got. Or
well, what happened was too, with on my end of things is like, you know, I was having a good time and Aaron was part of the good time with other people. I mean, not all of us together, but you know.
Clarify that, please.
But I was just starting to really like Aaron. And at some point, I had to eliminate everybody else.
From the rotation? Is that your favorite word?
I don't want to say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the early 2000s, so now that's not appropriate. But
yeah, I mean, it was, but then...
But I had to lay down the law, remember?
I know, because there was an exclusivity issue or a conversation. But that was after Vegas. Mm-hmm. Because we went to Vegas. Vegas was crazy. Vegas is where everything happened, okay? Vegas is where we fell in love. Now, were we chemically helped? I mean, maybe. We were there for the Super Bowl. It was three nights of just insanity. I was cruising around Caesar's Palace in like a silk Superman robe. We were doing cartwheels in the hallway all night long, all day long. I mean, it was really a beautiful experience. And we were with all of our friends. We were having the best time ever. And we were in a hotel room and we were playing Truth or Dare. And I asked Aaron truth.
And we weren't 13. This was no choice.
No. We're playing Truth or Dare. But yeah, but I asked Aaron, she said truth. And I said, do you love me?
Are you in love with
me? And she looked at me, I think you, and then you nodded your head and you said yes.
Well, I also had like ecstasy flowing through my body. Like if like the, you know, room service guy came and said it, I would have been like, I love you too.
Babe, you love me. But
I did. It was a year and a half of buildup. It was a year and a half of developing a friendship, hours on the phone.
And I remember our friend Alex was also like, dude, that's fucked up. That you would ask her that question like that. I remember, I'm like, what? And the psychology for me behind that is obviously I was way too afraid to say it myself. You know, I wanted her to say it first because, you know, then I wouldn't have to be hurt if she in fact didn't say it back to me or didn't love me. But I don't think I said I love you back.
I don't think you did.
No, I don't think it was like that.
No.
So we had an incredible time in Vegas, and then we came home and had to discover whether or not it was real, you know, outside of just that insanity.
Yeah.
But the insanity ensued, really. I mean, even it was just in LA.
Yeah, the insanity ensued. I mean, it was just a good time. It was before like emails and real cell phones, and it was just a young, you know, not a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. We were both just kind of, you know, going on auditions and like going to clubs. I mean, it was a time. It was a really fun, crazy time. But I remember coming home and thinking, all right, like I knew this would happen. We finally like are together physically. It's on. All I'm doing is thinking about this guy. And, you know, in my mind, I think I was like, all right, like I don't want to just be one of those girls. I don't want this to die out. I don't want to like have him be like, oh, I finally got her and now I'm good. And I've always had kind of a little, you know, saying or thought, which is always like, be the one that no one can get, which my dad always told me. And I thought it was great advice.
No, I know. And by the way, that carried with you because in LA, I had my friends who were like, oh, you know, you're hanging out with Aaron or whatever. And they're like, you know, they're like, no, you're like, you won't be able to get her. No one can get her. It's like she's like an unattainable.
And I was like, it wasn't like Ollie like was up for the challenge. He was up for the challenge. No, it was, you know, kind of playing hard to get. The thing is, at a certain point, I couldn't hold back anymore. I also didn't want to lose what we had, which was this friendship that I really did value, that I thought was different and amazing.
The talk about the night on the phone, remember?
Mm-hmm. And then, but you know, I said to you, because I said to Jackie, I was like, you know, my best friend and I would talk about it over and over. And I finally called and I was like, look, it's either like we're together, just us, or I don't really want to do this anymore. I'd rather like put it on hold and have you kind of do your thing and revisit it down the road. And I felt scared because I was like, oh my God, there's a very good chance he could say, okay. And we hung up the phone. I was hoping that he would be like, okay, no, I'm all in. and you didn't. You said, I have to think about this. And I remember hanging up the phone being like, that motherfucker, like to Jackie. And I was like, he fucking has to think about this. And I was spiraling and angry. And,
well, because I had no, been sleeping did, with
I know
my ex-girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Like, we were broken up, but I was like,
huh?
And a few other people that I, you know, I could name.
I
mean,
no, I know, but it was more about her. I remember that. It was like, God, I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Is it over? Because I was still sleeping with her kind of, even though we were broken up.
Yeah.
You know, but then I called back pretty quickly.
Well, you made it sound like, you know, I got to think about this. Give me some time. And I thought, what the fuck? And it was so mad. You made it sound like it was going to be like a couple days. You got to go through some stuff. And it was like 2 hours later. You called back and you were like, okay, I'm in.
Well, I was like, this is stupid. What am I doing? You know, what am I afraid of? Who am I? You know, it was one of those, you know, commitment. I've always been a girlfriend guy. I mean, I've had three girlfriends in all of my life. I haven't even dated for a week or 2 weeks or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months. It's been in love or just having a good time, you know? So I knew that when I was saying yes to that or when I was committing to that, that it was fucking real. So it was scary, you know, which has carried on throughout my life. Mm-hmm. I'm always so scared.
So we've actually been using Squarespace for a while now. I think Allison actually designed the Sibling Revelry website through them.
I'm sure she is not educated in website building, and that's why Squarespace is so amazing. It was super simple for her to do.
I've actually went on them one time. I remember I had this idea, this is years ago, for a company, and I was like, I need to see how you build a website. And I found Squarespace and I went on, I actually did the trial and I built this sort of fake website. And if I can do it, anybody can do it on Squarespace. It was very user-friendly, super easy, has everything you need to create a beautiful modern website. You can, you know, use one of the design templates or you can drag and drop and do all the fun stuff and get more intricate if that's what you're into.
Squarespace is perfect for people who are ready to make their ideas a reality and want those ideas to stand out, okay? Design, boom, innovation, storytelling, entrepreneurialism, customer enablement. These are the pillars, okay? From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business. So go to squarespace.com/sibling for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code sibling to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hair story.
So I've been talking about hair story with our ads. I really love this partnership. This is actually my sister-in-law's, or I mean, not my sister-in-law, literally, but basically my sister-in-law, so Danny's brother's wife's dad, who's the founder, one of the founders of Bumble and Bumble, created this company called Hair Story. And I believe Hair Story's new wash is probably the best product I've used on my hair in a long time. So new wash is sulfate, detergent, and shampoo-free hair cleanser. It's natural ingredients that will never strip your protective barrier, and it only removes the excess oil and dirt, and it keeps all the good stuff in, and it really does work. He also did a great product called Hair Balm. It's like this kind of a wonderful after shower. I like to put it on after I kind of air dry my hair a little bit, and then I put it on. And I honestly sometimes put it on when my hair is dry throughout the day. I love it.
So the new wash has over 6,000 five-star reviews. Whether you have curly, straight, thick, thin, colored, gray hair, new wash, it works. Doesn't matter what texture you have. It's going to give you the healthiest, most touchable hair since childhood. Check out Hair Story at hairstory.com and use promo code SIBLING to get 15% off your first purchase. That's HAIRSTORY.com and use our code SIBLING to get 15% off hairstory.com. But then she invited, but then Aaron invited me. This was like almost spring-ish. And then she invited me to go back east to her, to see her parents. And I was like, no fucking way, because Simon was there the summer before. And I'm like, I don't want to just be the next dude who's going to the Cape to like meet your family.
Yeah, just get in line. But I was a girlfriend person too, a relationship person. I didn't, you know, I had Steve for like 100 years through high school and college, and then like the worst person on the planet for a minute, and then Simon. That was it. And Simon and I were like together for 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, I knew Simon, I think, even before Aaron. And I love Simon. Simon's a good dude.
So then you came to the Cape the next summer.
Yeah.
Then it was on. Then you got your show, and we went to Vancouver. And once it was on, and you were, you know,
yeah, I was in. So my history a little bit is this. Okay, I had my first high school girlfriend, and you know, it's high school, but I was in love. I mean, there's no doubt, and I know that now because I've been in love, obviously, since, and so I knew it was real. And I was a good boyfriend up until the last little bit, and I was a cheater, and I was bad, and I did some bad things. I was in high school, but it hurt her, and it was devastating to me. And so then with my second girlfriend, I was so faithful, like super, super, super faithful to Vanessa. You know, then I was getting into another relationship and being committed, and it was easy. I mean, honestly, it was easy for me.
Until it wasn't.
I mean, honestly, three were together for 3 years. And we weren't
three
engaged.
Faithful.
Yep.
Blissful. Wonderful.
We weren't engaged.
Years.
So I bought her jewelry all the time. And I would always consult my mom because she's good with jewelry. And I'm good with jewelry as well. But I just wanted to, you know, always throw her things. What about this for Aaron? And it was around Christmas time, and I was getting her a Christmas gift, and I brought these rings and some necklaces, and I'm like, what do you think about this, this, and that? And my mom's like, what are you doing? You know, why don't you just give her a ring? I'm like, you mean a fucking ring? Like an engagement ring? And I was scared. Marriage scared me, honestly. And I think I could probably speak for Aaron saying that you never thought that we were really going to get married.
I didn't. I mean, I think I was the opposite. I wanted a wedding. I wanted my dad to walk me down the aisle. I'm definitely more traditional. But I also felt like I know, you know, from my parents and, you know, their upbringing. My parents are high school sweethearts, by the way. But, you know, when you find somebody, no matter what it is, whether it kind of goes against maybe your religious, you know, beliefs or, you know, parents or whatever it might be, it's hard enough to find somebody. So I was more excited just to have a life partner. And the truth is, my dad used to always say this, you know, it isn't about the marriage. It's about who this person will be as a father if you have children. So I think for me, I was like, oh, that's going to be off the charts. Like, no question. And I just let go a little bit of the idea because I knew you weren't into it. You had your parents, you know, that weren't. And I said, okay, it isn't about like the certificate of marriage and legally being bound, but I did want to have some sort of like wedding or party or fun part like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I was just sort of not, I saw Kurt and mom and I saw that work. And then I looked at my dad and mom who were married and I looked at that and I saw that didn't work. It was pretty basic. Right. So my philosophy was, why get married? What's the point, really? Let's just be together and be in love and have a family and all that.
Yeah. And I believed that. I think in the beginning, I did think it was probably just a little bit of an excuse. I was kind of like, and I would say, look, here's my parents, been married since like, you know, mm-hmm. high school sweethearts, amazing marriage, still happy, laughing, having fun. So that was my model. So, you know, yeah, I believed in that.
Right. And her dad is just one of the great human beings to ever walk on this earth. I mean, it is true. He's not in so many different ways. And Aaron's childhood.
So is my mom.
And her mom is one of the greats too. But in her childhood was like so idyllic. It was fairy tale esque, you know, small town in Longmeadow, ride your bike to school. I mean, it was out of a movie. Parents are still
compared
together.
Compared to you. I mean,
compared to me. No,
like
I
normal,
know.
It's so, like East Coast small town.
Right.
Upbringing.
I'm just talking about sort of your expectations of your man.
Yeah.
When one is sort of getting married or falling in love, and you know, you're looking at your father figure in a sense, and you have to live up to who your dad is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's no way I could do that. But
you did have, like, if I was thinking about, you know, my dad, there is that, you know, kind of light up the room, everybody's drawn to him, charming, you know, the best, like, dad, father figure. Like, you had a lot of those qualities.
Yes, yes.
So you might not be as good of a golfer as my dad, but...
but anyway, so we're there. I got the rings and my mom is like, what are you doing? I say, Mom, I don't know. What are you nuts? Like, I'm scared. And my mom basically said, she goes, look, this ring that you are going to get her doesn't mean you have to get married right away. It's a token. It's saying something. And she said, do you want to be with her for the rest of your life? And I said, I do. Yeah. Well, then get her something just to show her that you can wait. And it sort of put me at ease a little bit. So I said, okay, fuck, here we go. And I bought her a ring at Neil Lane. I picked it out myself. And I had a whole plan. I bought my first house. We were moving into the house. You know, it's kind of a funny, cute story. There's boxes everywhere, sort of movie style. And we
raining.
Ate some food. It's raining. And I have this whole plan. I've got the ring. I've rehearsed a little bit of a speech. You know, what?
Just to set it a little bit, we did have this thing that we would say to each other, our little like comment, which was like, guess how much I love you, mm-hmm. from the children's book with the bunnies and the whole thing. And then, you know, it would be like, do you know how much I love you? And I would always say coyly, like, no.
Right.
You know, like, and then he would tell me.
Right.
It's like a cute little thing.
Right,
we did
right,
it on the
exactly.
phone.
Good.
We
yeah.
did it sometimes.
Yeah. So
then,
I had a whole, okay, go.
I have to just tell this part because it's so good. So we're moving into this house. It's so exciting. It's a cute little Spanish house in West Hollywood. And we're going through undoing boxes. And my friend Jackie has come over and she's there helping. And she looks up on the fireplace and she's like, what is this? And up on the fireplace, Oliver has found a box of, like, say, memorabilia or whatever it is, of photos. And he has taken out, like, 8 pictures of me and my ex, Simon, now that everybody knows, but and put them up on the mantle. So it's like us in Jamaica, like us cuddling, kissing, like, you know, on the beach, whatever, all up on the thing. And I come out, I'm, like, hysterically laughing. And that's just like who he is, because this is actually the night that he's going to propose. And I don't know this yet. So we had like a great night. You know, Jackie was there and you told Jackie you were going to do it.
Yes,
remember?
I did.
So I'm in another room and you're looking at Jackie and you like show her the ring. She like bursts into tears. And then she's like, I have to leave because I'm not going to be able to like see Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, okay. But she was so excited. So I come out of the room and she's just smiling at me like, hi. Like a totally awkward, like weird, like she could barely keep it in. Of course, I had no clue what she was talking about. She's like, I'm going to go. I was like, okay, you know, love you. Anyways, we crawl into bed. It's
well,
late.
I planned it. So I wrote her a note. I was going to make her cry.
Beautiful,
and
beautiful
the note,
love
and
letter.
The love letter just saying, you know, just I'm so happy to be moving into this house with you. Like
starting our life together,
da, 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 and how special you are to me and all the stuff. And boom, okay, cue the tears, great. And then I was gonna like just hold her and look at her and just gonna say, do you know how much I love you? And like we do, and she's supposed to coyly and cutely say no. And then I'm supposed to, I have the ring in my pillowcase. I'm going to pull the ring out and say, well, this is how much I love you or something like that.
Yeah.
Or this is how much, so, you know, boom. I had it. It was going to go to plan. wasn't too difficult. Reads the letter, crying. Check. You know, hug. Great. Then I go to the part where I'm like, do you know how much I love you? And she goes, yes. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, because you had just written me this love letter. Right. It was amazing. And I'm emotional.
Because the no was supposed to prompt me to say, this is how much. Pull the fucking ring out. And then boom, we're off to the races. But she says, yes. So I'm like, oh, shit.
You were like
shit.
Stunned. And then I was like just kissing you
she
and loving
like,
you.
Yeah.
And you're
George,
like,
I love
you're supposed
she goes, yes.
to say no.
She goes, yes. I'm like, no. I was like, oh. I know I love you too. What the fuck? And I've got the ring behind me, and then she saves me by saying, not she doesn't know there's a ring, but she goes, "This is the best night ever."
Oh yeah,
and
this is
then,
the best night ever.
Then
yeah.
then I pull out the ring and I say, "Well, here's something to make it even better."
Yep,
that's
Ta-da!
What it was. And
that
then was boom,
amazing.
So I improvised, I recovered. And scene. And so I also had a fucking video camera recording all of this as we were, so I'm filming her as she's looking at the ring. She goes, shut the fuck up, opens it up, you know, closes it, the whole deal.
Yeah. Cause I was so in shock because obviously I had been prepping my family who was like, you've been dating this guy for 3 years. Like, is he gonna put a ring on your finger? And I had to tell everybody, I was like, no, he's not. And everyone's gonna have to deal with that. Like, my East Coast traditional family is gonna have to accept that, like, we're going to be together. We're probably going to have kids, but like, there's not going to be a wedding.
Yeah. And speaking of East Coast traditional, one of the first questions she asked me.
Oh yeah.
Right
no, I'm
at-
literally in tears. So right. excited. And like 30 seconds after I realize what's going on, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what did my dad say? Like crying all emotional. And he goes straight face like ghost. And he's like, it's silent. I'm like, wait a minute. You didn't ask my dad or call my dad. Like, and he's like, no. And he's like,
didn't even cross my mind. Like it wasn't even a thought in my mind.
Non-traditional
to call your
versus
dad.
Traditional.
I,
ladies
and I,
was
like, I
and
did
gentlemen.
Not. I did not.
So what did we do? We proceeded to call my dad on the East Coast and my mom.
It was like 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning for them. So they're gonna wake up with like a heart attack phone call. But Oliver did set it up. He called.
Right. I called her dad and I said, Brooks.
He's
like, hey, pal. I was like, I got some news. I got something to tell you. And he goes, what is it? And I take a beat and I'm like, Aaron's pregnant.
It's like a pause.
And there's a long pause. Doesn't say a thing. And I'm like, I'm just kidding. I just proposed. She said yes. And he's like, oh, fuck, man. Fuck, what are you doing, buddy? And then,
yeah.
You know, it was actually smart because, you know, you hit him with the extreme
the
and then you pull back with the joke.
Yeah.
And then the fact that I didn't tell him. Or ask him, that goes away.
Yeah, he was like just relieved.
Yeah, he was just relieved. And
but then we did end up having an amazing wedding.
We did, but even after that, which threw me for a loop, was the next fucking morning, Jackie and all your friends yeah. all of a sudden show up at like 7:30 with baskets of already pre-made sweatshirts and like, man, Mrs. Hudson, I'm like, when the fuck? Fuck, did they get this shit done?
I mean, it was a few days.
And
but yeah,
it was
crazy. Like, it was like a scene out of a movie, of a romantic
and
movie.
Honestly,
like,
honestly, I remember exactly. I felt overwhelmed and I left the house.
Yeah.
I went to Duke's.
Yeah.
I remember I went to Duke's and I had a chili cheese omelet by myself.
I remember. And I remember being like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, what couldn't you wait till like Ollie wasn't here to come in with like baskets of like bride shit? And it was just, it was exciting. It was the girly stuff. And then from that moment on, the panic set in.
And then everything was good.
Oh,
we got married.
Everything went downhill.
We got married and had kids. And
yeah.
And everything was good.
Yeah. So should we break and go to commercial, folks, and come back for the good stuff? Wish it was that easy. But it wasn't. Well, I thought it was because I didn't know that it wasn't.
I know.
We love Article. They have a new outdoor collection. I love when they have the new collections. I get my alerts and my emails. It's called Desert Modern, which is great. So from easygoing lounging to long table luncheons, the pieces of Desert Modern are made to basically melt into, which you will see when you go and check it out. They're really the deep earthy tones, hence desert, warm wood finishes, and it's a very summery look. You're going to like this a lot. So my favorites are the Soul Dolphin Gray Daybed and the Tana Stool. And it's perfect even if you don't live in the desert. So Article, we love them. You save up to 30% over any traditional prices. They're able to keep the prices low by cutting out the middleman, selling directly to you because there's no showrooms, no salespeople, no retail markups. It's right to you. And then, you know, we get to save some bucks.
So you have incredible quality furniture that looks beautiful. It's fast. Affordable shipping is available across the USA and Canada, and is free on orders over $999. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Go to article.com/sibling, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/sibling to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
So when you're all caught up on episodes of Sibling Revelry, I suggest checking out Life is Short with Justin Long. Justin chats with musicians, actors, and artists about how they get the most out of life. Justin, this sounds great.
And each episode goes beyond what you'd expect to hear on an interview show. Justin is funny. Justin is sensitive. Justin is sweet. I really think you guys should go check this out. He's a good human being. Very candid. Got a candid interview style, which I like. He knows just what to ask and how to pull all the unexpected stories out from his guests. He interviewed Jon Bon Jovi. He told this story where he shared this moment where his mom, Bon Jovi's mom, wanted to crawl under the seats after his performance in a local talent show because he was so horrible. Or Alison Brie, she shared an unfortunate peeing incident that happened on the set of Mad Men. I've had one of those, except it came out the other end. But he has hard-hitting questions too, like, if you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Huh? What would it be? Listen to the latest episode of Life is Short with Justin Long on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Wondery, feel the story. There's a lot of lessons in this story. We won't get too detailed. But basically, I just took a downward spiral. I mean, I don't know what it was. 3 years, I was perfectly good. And then after the engagement, something happened. And I started to drink a little bit more. And I just became detached and went into party mode. And into major avoidance of some kind. And I don't know if this was triggered by, well, it probably was triggered by the
bridal baskets.
The bridal baskets, just the finality, I guess, of what it means to be married, maybe dealing with my parents and their divorce. And I don't know, but I
also,
just.
Also, you were a baby. Don't forget, you were like 20.
28.
When we got engaged?
No.
Yeah.
27.
27 or 28. Yeah. I mean, you know, I hadn't
experienced a ton of life. I had never lived alone. I lived with a roommate or whatever. Anyway, these are all bullshit excuses, but I just tumbled into darkness and I was unfaithful and I was out on the scene and partying and doing my thing. And
of course, me thinking I had, you know, found my like knight in shining armor, whatever the saying is, who had unfaithful boyfriends in the past and kind of put Ollie up on this pedestal due to his dad and his childhood and never wanting to do that and all that kind of stuff. When I look back, of course, there were red flags and I saw it happening, but I was so, of course, naive is going to be the obvious word that comes, you know, to mind. And I'll take that. But I think I also had a better belief in you. And just, I was not a jealous person. And when I say that, like, I truly mean, I was not jealous of him going out. I wasn't jealous of the girls throwing themselves at him. I literally almost liked it. I felt like it was a compliment, right? That all these girls liked him and that he was hot. I always felt like, well, I know he's not going to cross the line. He's still going to come home with me. And I fell in love with you because you were flirt and charming and all of that stuff I loved about you. I wasn't threatened by it. Mm-hmm. I had the confidence in me, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, looking back, of course, now there's a million red flags that I either just didn't choose to see or want to see or want to believe.
Yeah. You know? But I also
didn't ever catch you. There was nothing that I could.
No, there was no getting caught. And we'll get into that in a second. But for me, just to talk about my personal state of being, after therapy and going through all of this, I called it like a lowercase addiction, like a lowercase A addiction in a sense, because I would come home and I would shower and I would cry in the shower and I would have shame, deep shame. But then I'd, you know, mix a drink and get right back out there. You know what I mean? So there was a lot that I was masking, you know, a lot of psychology that I was had yet to come up. I mean,
mm-hmm. I also looked at, I think a lot of it, you know, at the time was I knew you had insecurities, right? Like I knew that you needed kind of your ego to be fed a little bit, but I didn't mind that. I just didn't realize how deep down it was going. And, you know, you going out and partying and staying out late, you know, I was like, all right, like, you know, it just wasn't a threat to me, but I did start to sense like, okay, if I'm not enough and like, you know, you need other women to, you know, because look, we all want to go out or be wherever we are and, you know, feel like we're attractive or that it feels good. I mean, I'm just being 100% honest and, you know, humble. You still, even if you're in a relationship, whether you're dating or married or you still, you know, want to know that you could,
sure.
You know, I guess my feeling was like, hey, if I went out to a bar and I knew I could still get, you know, a guy or I could go home with someone, like that's where I would have drawn my line on my confidence or my ego. It's like, all right, I still got it. Mm-hmm. And I think yours started there and it just kind of went down into a mm-hmm. darker spiral yeah. of needing to knowing that you could get the girl, then knowing that you could and you kind of want to or where it just, you know.
Yeah. No, I know. It was a bad spot. And it was about 2 years of just cycling, spiraling down into this hole. And then we got married, which was an incredible fucking wedding. I mean, one of the all-time great weddings, honestly. I mean, it was about 90 people. and I was such a fucking dick. Oh my God, I was a dick. But I don't know if I would have changed anything. So Erin has her amazing friends from college who I love.
And home and everything else,
right? And I've got my family and I wanted to make it small. Like intimacy matters to me when I'm speaking, you know, words from my heart. Like
especially like having a wedding when you didn't want to have a wedding. So
right. I didn't want anyone there who I didn't know. So
no, you said to me, I don't want to have to be introduced to anybody at my own wedding.
Yes.
And with your parents and, you know, all this yeah. stuff, and you know, it made sense and it was.
Oh my God, people are going to hate me for this. I know. But
no, but it was it, like, here's the thing. What happens is, you know, if I have one friend and the husband and then, but it's a group of friends from everybody.
Right. So
and
it's all a group kind of friends.
Happen. It's fine. It all turned out amazing. It was small and intimate. Few people might have not been happy, but like
right because well we I'm just no I know but we didn't tell the thing like I was like your girlfriends from college I love it but their husbands or boyfriends who I don't know
or didn't know at the time
right now I
all
do
of them. Yeah,
didn't know
yeah.
I was like I don't really want them to be at my wedding. So,
well, we had to cut numbers is really what was happening because where we were and space. And so who ended up getting cut was people that Oliver didn't know. He has a very small family. I know everybody in his family.
God.
And I had to say it to my parents too. You can't have like the bigger, wider right. group of friends. We had all family, a few close friends.
friends right. that are basically like,
but
you know,
all the friends, but, all the husbands came to Cabo, mm-hmm. but they just didn't come to the wedding. Yep. They were in other hotels and just
my
didn't
friends
come
that
to
have you know normal jobs and they aren't in the entertainment business was like, we're taking a fucking vacation to Cabo. Right. Like, great, terrible. Like, go. I mean,
terrible. I apologize to all you boys out there. That's my bad.
And like, but, my friends, you know, who wanted that were single.
I just, you know,
we also said
know.
If you're single, do not bring a date.
Right.
There were no
right.
dates.
Right.
You had
right.
to like literally be like married, and we had to know your partner. So that right. happened because I remember Tracy.
Yes.
You know,
yeah. 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 Like, anyway, it was an incredible wedding. Incredible speeches. Aaron's brother like brought the house down. My brother Wyatt brought the house down. It was just beautiful. We partied till 5 a.m. It was so much fun. It was just one of those moments. Just a really, really fun wedding. And then I will say this. So that was June 6th?
9th.
I was looking for that. It was June 9th. So from June 9th on.
And I will say this, though, too. In our vows, I didn't cry. And you were weeping. And a mess. And I think it was a lot of your guilt and shame.
Yeah,
and just kind of like, holy shit, I've been a fucking horrible person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was an angel and perfect. And
I know, so, yeah. I know. And then so we spent my birthday in Colorado and won't get into it.
Well, we went on our honeymoon.
Oh, honeymoon
was
epic. Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just beautiful. And by the way, you know, I was good. From that point on, once marriage happened, I was good. And then my birthday comes around and we're driving back from Vegas and basically, we were at dinner.
Well, you got a call.
I know.
Car.
We can get into all the details. We only have so much time.
Okay. Okay. You know anyways, I mean? Long story short.
Yeah, we only have so much time. We can do. We can do a part two if we, in the comment section they want to hear more and more and more. But
let me just say it really quick. We tried to get pregnant that summer on the honeymoon. I had gone off the pill. That was kind of our goal right away, and it didn't happen. And so we were driving home from Colorado to LA. We stopped in Vegas. Had a great night. We're sitting at dinner and I was like, God, I got my period or whatever. And I was bummed, but I was like, whatever, it's a few months. And you were like ghost white, really like awkward and, you know, just sad. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like he really wants a kid. And I was like, it's going to be okay, babe. Like it's going to happen. And you were just like weird and distant. I was like, is everything okay? And then you just were like, I'm not the man you think I am. Mm-hmm. And you started with the thing. You're like, I got to go. We got to leave dinner. And I was like, holy fucking shit. He's going to break up with me. Like, didn't want to get married. Now he's freaking out. Cold feet. It's over. And we have this like silent, like walk of silence back to the hotel room that now looks like the shining hallway in my memory. Mm-hmm. And we go back to the hotel room and you're like, I've been unfaithful and I don't want to bring a child into the world like this. And mm-hmm. I'm relieved that you're not pregnant because there's too much darkness and I need to get this off my chest. And basically, if you will ever forgive me, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah. I had to tell her. I had to tell her we had started this life, we had gotten married. And we were going to have kids and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't continue on living in this crazy world, living in my mind, living this lie. And so I told her. I didn't get caught. I told her. I told her everything. And I was a mess. Oh, I was threw up all the wine. I was like, Aaron is ice fucking cold sitting on the couch, which was worse. Just looking at me, watching me just go through it, throwing up, puking. I've ruined everything. If it was a movie, you know, and we're doing a scene, the director would cut and be like, all right, Oliver, you're way over the top. You got to bring it down because you were way over the top. I was out of my mind.
Well, I was in, I think, a state of shock. I was also angry. My whole thing I had always said, and I've said this to every relationship I was ever in, you know, we're humans. It's fucking, you know, not easy no matter how in love you are. Everybody makes mistakes. Like, I get it. I get attraction. I get all that kind of shit. But I was like, if something ever happens, just tell me so I don't hear it from someone else. And I would do the same because I feel like there's something to be said when you come and
say to the person, I've done this. It's different than a rumor. It's different than other people knowing. It's also saying, I want you to know for me, which in my mind, getting caught means you weren't done doing it. And, you know, then you got to pay the consequences and you're going to have to be done. But when you're coming forward, you're basically saying, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I want you to know. So that was always my like golden rule. And I just didn't think it was going to actually happen.
That was crazy. I mean, I remember in that hotel room, I was like turned into a little child. Remember, I was like,
are you crying? I want to call my mom.
I want my mommy. I was like, I need my mommy. Even though I was the one who did all of the horrible things, like I needed love. I needed someone to like hold me. You know what I mean? It was selfish, but still I was like, I was just spinning and like, oh my God. And
I just remember thinking like, I got fucking played and I had no idea. So separate from jealousy or the questions, like right away in my mind, I was just like, oh my fucking God. Like you played me. Like I thought, you know, you wouldn't do this or whatever. And I was so angry. And I literally said to you, you're going to call my dad and tell him why we're getting divorced after 3 months of marriage.
Yeah.
It was a done deal
for me.
No, but I just, in my mind, I was like,
so we were driving home, a rental car. I left the car in Vegas because I couldn't drive. We get up the next morning and I get a car to take us because I was just in no shape. And that car ride from LA to from Vegas to LA was really crazy. And you know, I was just crying and it was silent and I was just going through it and, you know, just thinking about how I've just destroyed one of the great things in my life. And then it happened. And for me, it was the moment that I knew that things might be okay. Because Erin took my head and she put it on her lap. And then she just started stroking my hair because she knew the kind of pain that I was in. And that's the kind of woman she is, by the way. And that moment, I was like, okay, you know, I think we might have a chance. And then the work started.
Well, I think also, I will say just for that moment in the car, it's like, you know, I'm very, I don't know, I'm just realistic. And like, I know that there are women that would, you know, never look back. And I respect that. I think for me, the biggest thing is like you're madly in love with someone. We were literally on a high of trying to make a baby and coming off of our honeymoon, and you don't all of a sudden fall out of love. I mean, I didn't anyway. So I was like, I still love this person. I am brokenhearted, angry. You know, I mean, there's just so many things swirling, but I knew that the reality of men and women and monogamy, I'm just very realistic, I guess. And I, you know, I thought it was over. I mean, I knew in my mind, it's really, really, really hard to come back from, you know, infidelity and earn trust back. And I, you know, I was more sad at that point. I think I was angry and I was sad. And I just thought we had something really fucking good and he just couldn't do it. And that was like devastating.
Right. But then you go deeper. You know what I mean? And that's where I always say whenever I write you letters, because I write her letters at least once a year, handwritten letters, she's the most evolved woman that I know, you know, and this is one of the reasons why. I mean, she's looking at things in a bigger picture. Yes, she can be reactionary. Why shouldn't she be? You know, but when we got home, we moved out. You know, we had our home, but she moved in with her friend Jackie. I moved in with my parents. She didn't want to be in that house, you know.
Well, there were so many questions once it started happening, because it's not like that night you told me everything that went on in those couple of years. It was like you just were generalizing.
Well,
a
then
little
we got into therapy.
And we got
I mean,
into
we got
therapy.
Into therapy and things came out in
because
therapy.
Because basically what I thought was, you know, our parents got involved. Everyone was very supportive around us. I knew, you know, this person, you know, basically like, you know, it came down to this. Your mom looked at me and said, please do not give up on him. If you can give it a try in therapy to work through something like this, please do it, because he is going to change for himself, whether it's for you or not. And then she's like, And then there's going to be someone else in our lives. And I don't want anybody else in our lives. Mm-hmm. I want you to be my daughter-in-law. And I really think,
well, you,
you know,
saw
you should
me
give
as,
it, you know.
You saw this as an act, you know, not as a whole of who I am. You know, I'm not a bad, nefarious, disgusting, horrible human being at the core. You know, this was symptomatic of a lot of things in my life. And it takes someone evolved like you and someone like my mom who would help you to understand that, take the journey. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think honestly, that's the problem, not just in relationships, but not just in love relationships, but relationships in general. We are so quick to throw everything away now instead of really take a 30,000 foot view, mm-hmm. look at the whole person and get into the souls, get into the emotions, get into a little bit of the psychology of who these people are and maybe understand to then grow with. Or at least give it an attempt. And then if you can't, okay.
Right.
But
I think also at that moment in time, those couple weeks where I was still in shock and, you know, kind of just devastated it was over, we didn't have kids, okay? We didn't have a lot of years of marriage under our belt. It was different. It was still very fresh and very fun. And I mean, you know, a part of it was. We were not bad. Okay, so meaning like we were still having fun together. We were still having sex all the time. We were, you know, you had your own thing. It wasn't like our relationship had deteriorated or, you know, we had grown apart. I mean, those factors were important. And then I think for me, I said to you at that point in time, and I guess this speaks to kind of being evolved, and I said, this is your opportunity to go because I will love you for that decision as well. Meaning, do not stay because you feel guilty or like you should, or you don't want to lose me, like lose me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember sitting in Jen's office and just saying like, I will still respect you. Like, do not do this because you're scared to lose me. Don't do this because like you think it's the right thing and your parents and my parents and everyone's involved. Like, it's okay. You, if you need to go, like, I understand that, like, we're still young, you're young, like, you know, you've been so honest and so eager to fix this, but like, just make sure it's about fixing you and not like saving our relationship. And then we had a week without each other because it was just therapy. And I, you know, I think I really did think you were going to do that. And I thought maybe our story will reconnect one day because I did believe in us, but I knew you were young. I knew there was so much that you still needed to personally deal with from your childhood and your father and, you know, all of your ego and self-worth. And it was a big undertaking. But you were very, very adamant about doing it together. And so we started the journey of therapy.
Which was great. Coors Light, baby. Coors Light.
Ollie, you're in the Rockies.
If you could see me right now, I am sitting at the birthplace of Coors Light in Colorado.
Summer always feels like the shortest season.
I know, it does.
But when you need to make the most of it, you just need to chill.
You got
to
chill.
Just have a Coors Light.
You got to sit by the pool. You got to get your cooler out, fill it with Coors Light, ice cold Coors Light. And just sip on those Coors Light while you hang out with your friends and you laugh and you talk shit and watch the sun go down.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, does it get better than that? I don't think so.
It's a cold lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged, crisp, refreshing. It's perfect for a moment to unwind this summer.
It's crisp as shit. I'm about to go play golf right now, loading up the cooler with Coors Light. Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down summer because as the beer that is made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Hudson. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. But here's how fucked up I was. My therapist didn't even know what was going on. Like, I had my therapist, but I wouldn't even tell him through these 2 years what I was going through because I was so ashamed of it. I was like, I don't want to, it was horrible. But the best was when Erin made me call her dad. you know, because he's old school, you know. And I was like, Brooks, you know, here's what happened. And, da, 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 and I told her everything. He's, what do you mean? He goes, you told her? You didn't get caught? And I'm like, no, I told her because I couldn't live with this. And he goes, you weren't married when you did any of this? I said, no. He's like, all right. He goes, oh, sounds good to me. I'm like, Jesus.
I mean, it's a little exaggeration.
I mean, a little bit, but he was definitely.
I think what he said to me was, you know, you guys have something special. I have men, grown men, that wouldn't have enough courage, you know, or respect to do what he did. You were not married at the time. Nothing went on in your own home. These were isolated incidents. It wasn't a full-blown love affair of, you know, with one person. This was, he really broke it down, and it is generational. And, you know, my dad was like, I'll support you whatever you do. But, you know, we were there at your wedding, and, you know, if you guys are going to give it a try, we support that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I had them as such a model of, you know, they're just the best, and they're opposites. They're not perfect, but they work, and, you know, they've been together for 150 years mm-hmm. and they've seen a lot, and I've seen it through their eyes of relationships. And anyways, I went in it with a very like bleak outlook. I thought, it's worth it. We're married. I love this person. I'm going to try, but I don't think it's going to work. And I just didn't have my hopes up. I think, you know, infidelity is really hard. I think trust, I said to you, I go, look, you're going to probably do all this amazing work. You might become the most honest, you know, wonderful person and partner. And I said, and I will probably deteriorate and become jealous and insecure. I don't want to be checking your phones and not trusting you. It's an ugly, dark place, and mm-hmm. it's poison. And I've had that feeling before. I didn't want that. And I didn't want that to be the reason we broke up in a few mm-hmm. years, because I couldn't handle it. And I became insecure and all of those ugly things that it can bring out. I didn't want, that's not who I am. I've done, you know, and been there, and it just is not mm-hmm. a place I wanted to be. And so, you know, we had a lot of stuff. I mean, I remember sitting with our therapist, and I said, you don't have to do it right this second, but we're going to meet here, whatever it was, a few days later, and you're going to tell me every single detail and thing that went on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Oliver's looking at me like a fucking deer in headlights. And my therapist is like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't think this is a good idea. And I looked at my therapist and I said, it's not your relationship. It's mine. And I looked at Ollie and I said, if you're not up for it, I understand. But if we are going to move forward, that's what I need to know. Mm-hmm. For me, it was who knew? And all these people thought that I didn't fucking know. And that was my therapy right. that I needed to work on.
Right.
Because
right. That was the big thing. It was less about the physical and more about.
I was ashamed. I was like, who knew? And they're walking around. And then these fucking whores, you know, are walking around like, oh, she has no idea. But I was with her person. I mean, all of that shit, that was my issue and my problem, which of course is not everybody is. And but for me, it was like, I don't want to find something else out 5 years down the road and we bump into somebody or something comes up. Mm-hmm. I was all about, if we're doing this, we're a team now. I want to know everything. I want you to call all the people and let them know that I know. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying all, I mean, it wasn't, you know, like a list of 20, right, but it was right. definitely a handful. And I had a few, you know, kind of ultimatums. And I was like, if you're not okay with it, I understand. But moving forward, that's what I need. And then you came back a week later and you were like, I'm ready. And I said, okay, here we go. And he told me things that I definitely would never, ever have found out, probably for like three lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely like, what did I do? But it just... it made me feel like I knew. It gave me the confidence to say, okay, he was willing to share this shit with me and we could put it behind us. And then there were no secrets. There was no me wondering, you know, oh my God, am I going to run into somebody? Who's going to know? All that shit got cleared up. Mm-hmm. And then we had, then it just kind of rebuilt, and it really was the pre and the post of our relationship.
But, you know, yes. And I want to be clear, like, you know, that Aaron is, I did a lot of work. I did work for myself, meaning like if I don't want to be this kind of a human being with or without her, that's it. But for her, again, talking about the evolution, for her to be able to take me back to create this life. I mean, pretty much, I don't know what I would be. I don't know what I'd be doing. I don't even know what I'd be without you. I really don't. I don't know what would be, what my life would look like. And it's all, we're always working. You know, we got to make, I want to make that clear. It doesn't end. You're always working. You know, this is a major mark on our relationship, and it's only made it better and honest and, you know.
Yeah, I feel like we had an innocence before.
Sure, and then, you know, but then there's different iterations. You know, down the road, boom, something else might happen. Nothing bad, but, you know, you got to check yourself. And we're constantly working, you know, not just from my standpoint, but from each other's standpoint. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm feeling. I don't like this. You don't like that. I mean.
This position, you know, is by far the harder position to be in. I mean, I could literally do my own podcast on it and healing and forgiving, because for years I forgave, but I was still holding on to so much. And I had this feeling of like, how could you do that to me? How could you? And it was those things that it took me a long time to get over. It was, you know, a long time to kind of separate that you could be in love with me and have sex with another person or whatever, because I couldn't do that. So through therapy, you kind of realize just because it's how you think or how you would work, it doesn't mean that's the same for everybody else. There is a difference between love and sex. You know, I feel like I was getting over that kind of stuff. And then it was the forgiveness, because I held it over you for a long time too. Even though it was amazing, I'd have these like steps backwards where there was anger and resentment and darkness and, you know, and everything would be going great. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, oh, what happened? Wait, where did you go? What's happening? And it was years of getting through that and rebuilding trust. And, you know, it's definitely not easy. I'm not going to say that, but And every relationship is different. All the details from your childhood to your upbringings to your past relationships to where you are, you know, all of it, your careers, your things. I mean, all that kind of stuff. This is ours. Story, but it was, and I think I also learned a lesson to understand that, you know, just because the fairy tale, you know, worked for my parents and I felt very deserving of it. You know, it was this kind of all roses wedding and we're going to have babies and we're going to be together forever. It put a reality on the sense that like, no, we're not. And you have to work at things and always kind of, you know, show up and be willing to evolve and ebb and flow. And, you know, you both have to always want to be there. I remember, this is going to sound so corny, but I remember Gwyneth said, you know, had some quote that her mom or dad had always said to her, like, you both have to always want to be there or work on it. Or like, you both don't want to get divorced at the same time. That's what it was. Something like that, where even if one of you is like, ah, the other one has to kind of pull for you or still show you the reasons to still be there. Mm-hmm. And then I think we just got really lucky with our chemistry, because that's like something that I think is super important. That,
and then just, you know, just the constant work, the constant communication, me trying to come out of my shell. You know, doing my thing, going to Hoffman, you know, which I've talked about on this podcast, wanting to be better, wanting to understand the root of why I am the way I am and why I do the things that I do. You know, you do counseling together, and we did hardcore for a while. Now when we need it, we'll get together and have a session.
Because we had about, I would say, 10 years after the wedding that was like amazing and blissful. And then, you know, there was a moment, New Orleans-y time, that you kind of were starting to fall back a little bit to old patterns.
There's no like nothing close, nothing even physical close to what I was doing, you know, 100 years ago. But just you can slip back, and you got to catch yourself, and you got to, you know.
I think here's the other thing for me. It was realizing no matter how much I love you, you have to love yourself. And so I think a lot of times those darker places, whether it be infidelity or drugs or gambling or things or whatever these places that people go to, are so deeply rooted and personal and have less to do with the partner. Mm-hmm. And
And I'm not saying some marriages, it's like, hey, the partner could suck. And a lot of people go and find affection and love and, you know, things in other places. That's, of course, you know, the classic reason for it. They're finding something somewhere else. But when things are good in a relationship and your partner has their own personal demons or battles going on, it can sometimes have nothing to do with you. And separating that was really hard. I mean, it took a lot of work. And I think Ellie's like saved me, saved our marriage. But keeping that open line of communication and being vulnerable, it's the hardest thing to do these days. But vulnerability is just huge. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that too. But being willing to like talk about your fears and your insecurities and your vulnerabilities, and it just has allowed, I think, for a lot of growth, I will say.
And now we're here.
Yeah. Not perfect, but perfectly together. Sounds like Ellie.
With three beautiful kids.
Yep. Wow, so we went there.
We don't have to put it in.
Yeah, totally. So where do we cut to? So then we had our babies. And our, yay.
No, but you know, look, there's a lot. And it's a lot.
And maybe it's a lot.
Maybe there's a part two of this shit too, where we actually talk about the rest of our lives after that. I don't know. Our relationship has never been better. We're 20 years in. Sex is fucking crazy. I mean,
That's also vulnerability. I think that's connection. That's like
right.
Going to places where the intimacy level is at places that it's never been. And it sounds crazy because you hear those stories of, I used to think like when people would say, oh, marriage is work. And I used to think, I don't want to be in a marriage that's work. But you know what that means, like with experience. And, you know, it's also just, it's, you get to different places and there's just levels of growth, I think. But, you know, I look at it too and I think, you know, back to people or, you know, I have friends or people we meet and they're like, oh my God, you guys have the best relationship or, oh, that's, I want to be, you know, in a relationship like you guys. And when I never shy away from like pretending that it's perfect, but right now it's pretty fucking perfect and it's pretty amazing. And so, that's but I'm great. Always like, we didn't.
Yeah, but think about what I'm going through right now with my crazy anxiety and shit. Like,
I know.
You know, yeah, you call it perfect, but you're having to deal with a psychopath. You
this
know what I mean?
True. Like,
having panic attacks and nah, being disconnected and I'm trying to figure out medication again. I mean, so yeah, we're always trying to help each other. Now, Erin happens to be a fucking angel sent down from heaven. She doesn't have many things wrong when I say that. I'm not being hyperbolic in any way. Like, she might have some anxiety over our kids falling down the stairs or getting hurt or whatever.
They ride motorcycles.
Right. Those kinds of external fears and stuff. But she's so solidly made and so solidly raised and has such incredible perspective on things. And that's why she's so evolved. And that's why she's so loved by every single human that she comes into contact with. It's fucking crazy. And that's why I'm so lucky, you know, honestly. You know, I don't know. And it was hard. It's hard. It was hard for me post going to Hoffman to explain and express the way that I would could feel about you. Because, again, that vulnerability would hurt. I would feel like
scary.
I would want to crawl into a shell. It's scary. But it's just the truth. And not saying that, you know, life will never be perfect. We're always ebbing and flowing. We're always hitting the bumps. And it's just about taking it in stride, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, because we've also been pretty fucking blessed. You know, it's like, our love, B, healthy children. You know, it's like, if you can be on solid ground and pretty connected and in a good place for when the real stuff happens, you know, like whatever it might be, your anxiety or, you know, sickness in families or whatever down the road. It's like, and you know, I think it is with age comes, you know, or experience and age, all of that kind of stuff. You do see things differently, and it isn't just about yourself. It is such a partnership. So, you know, and it's also about raising these kids and being
a team there. It gives you this different element.
Right. Well, we could do a whole parenting podcast next.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess.
You're hungry.
I have a headache.
Hungry and a headache.
How do you feel about talking about all this?
I mean, I guess I feel fine. It's so a part of us, and I'm sure I could be very judged. And, you know, for a long time, I had so much
insecurity. You could be judged about me.
I could be
annihilated right now.
I mean,
if we put this
people are going to be like, how could you stay with him? How could you do that? Da, 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 da. I mean, I had so much insecurity around that. And people saying like, oh, well, of course she stayed with him. Or, you know, oh, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater. And, you know, I mean, there's so many like judgments and things going around, but you know, it's a part of us. We were very young. It was feels like a lifetime ago. And I'm happy we went through it then. And you kind of wanted to face a lot of things way back then. You know, I think a lot of people probably carry shit around and don't know why they do the things that they're doing and they don't like it. And that was you. And getting into finding out why you were doing it when you had something that you treasured and loved and everything was so great. But behind closed doors, there was this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of it. Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it. And
I'm scared.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone be nice. I'm also just somebody.
I'm always an open book. Everyone knows that. But just like, you know, it's a big part of my life that.
Yeah. But
I guess I could say I'm ashamed of. But then I honestly, I don't know what I would be without that. You know what I mean?
Because it could have come out later and I might not have been in a place. Well, we could have been down the road.
Right,
we could have had children.
Just generally, you know, but.
There's a lot of factors play into it. I also am probably one of the most least like judgmental people in the world. And especially after becoming a mom, you know, in this day and age of social media and just all of it, I'm kind of like, you know, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. And I think there should be respect for everybody's path, and it may not be yours. You might not agree with it. And that's okay, you know? And you don't know other people's stories. That's the other thing, you know? It's like there's so many lessons to be learned, you know? We're so quick to kind of, you know, judge or assume or, you know, label. Oh, hi.
And then our biggest son comes in.
What's up? Here comes our teenager. Part two.
Okay. That was our son,
teenagers.
Wilder. Walked in. We should do one with the kids. That'd be fun.
That'd be so funny.
All right.
Okay. I think that's good. Wrapping it up.
I love you.
Wow. Laid it all out there. From acting class to therapy.
I know.
To now.
I know.
20 years in. Hope we're still together when the podcast airs.
I don't know.
You never know.
All right. I love you.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnan.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.